and they have stacks of them. And so if you don't have one, throw your hand in the air, wave it like you just don't care, and they will bring you one, and you can use it. If you don't own one, we give that one to you. It is a gift. So take it and use it, and if you just forgot yours or whatever, we'd love for you to be able to follow along. We're going to bounce through several passages today. And, you know, if nothing else, I think it's good. I think it is good for us to get a real Bible and just, you know, flip through and remember where things are. I know everything's electronic now. And, I mean, heck, I'm up here with it electronic myself. But, you know, I just think it's good. I think it's good practice for us. It's good for our kids. I want my kids to grow up seeing me knowing how to use a Bible. I know that may sound silly, but I think it's just good. Today we're in this series that we started last week on the one another's, and I'll be honest with you, it's challenging. This whole series is going to be challenging, I really believe, to all of us. And so and last week we talked about loving one another and how Christ came and of course he gave like the ultimate love. He gave his life. And he loved us, you know, with everything that he had. And so, you know, I mentioned last week that through this series, everything else from the series in this series, going through all these one another's are really going to springboard off of last week. Love one another is like the base for the rest of it. And out of that grows all of these others. And so this week is definitely based in that. And as we walk through it, I think that you'll see that. And so this week we're talking about serving one another. And serving one another, I think, is one of those things, you know, that we hear that and immediately our minds go to the things that we have done or that we do to serve. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to challenge us this morning. I want to challenge us with something that I think is really huge. And I want to challenge us with this. And that's that we didn't see Jesus compartmentalize his serving of others. Let me put it this way. We didn't see Jesus box up ministry and say, well, here's my ministry over here, and here are the other things of my life. Jesus ministered all the time. He was a minister all the time. And if you didn't know, and if you don't, then you're about to. If you have believed and trusted in Christ to be your Savior, then a little known fact that's very important for us to understand about our faith and about our relationship with God is that when we've been bought with the blood of Christ, we have been called to be ministers of the gospel. Every one of us has been called to be ministers of the gospel. If God has saved you through the blood of Jesus, then I'm telling you, you've been called to be a minister of the gospel. And you're going, well, Chris, I, you know, ministers are like, you know, that's pastors and deacons and elders and all that. No. We got to get out of this mindset of maybe churches that we grew up in where, you know, these people with titles did all the heavy lifting spiritually. Okay? That's not what God has called us to. God has called us all to be ministers of the gospel. And what we see Jesus do is that he lives ministry all the time. And us as Christians, even the title Christian, which was given as this like, you know, we're poking fun at these people that were following Jesus. The purpose in that title was they were calling those people little Christs. Little Jesuses running around, people following this guy Jesus at that time. And so for us to take on, you know, the title that we're going to be a Christian means that we agree that, we not only believe in Christ, not only believe that he has saved us, but we're going to live our lives as he lived his life. Okay? And he did not live his life like, okay, well, here's where I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve on Sunday mornings. Or I'm going to serve on Wednesday nights. Or I'm going to serve, you know, once a month, you know, at the mission. Or I'm going to serve. Listen, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I serve there. But for our understanding, for the purpose of us getting a full understanding of the gospel and our calling, we can't look at serving in boxes. We can't. We've got to look at serving everybody all the time as our calling for our life. We read the passage last week, the greatest commandment. The guy comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Give me like your number one, top one thing. You know, we've got all these top 100 things at the end of every year. can they just not do that anymore? Like there weren't enough good songs last year to have a top 10. Okay, let's just face it. You know, but whatever. And so we've got Jesus. God comes Jesus. What's the greatest thing? And Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus answers the one question with two answers. And what he's doing is he's trying to help us to see how important it is that if we really love him, if we really love God, then we're going to love others. Anytime you hang out with somebody, if they've got a love for something, you can't help but like not to start, you know, loving. Like, you know, I don't drink coffee. In fact, I despise it. I know it's weird to some of y'all, but I'm not a coffee drinker. Like, don't need it. Give me a Mountain Dew. All right. Right. And so, you know, but I got a friend of mine, and you guys know Ben Adkison. You know, Ben, I mean, he is messed up in the head. Okay. And I'll tell him this in person. I mean, he's messed up in the head. I mean, he doesn't just like coffee. I think he would marry it if Megan would let him, you know. And, you know, I mean, it's so strange, like his love for coffee. And he doesn't just have like a coffee maker. I dare you to go to Ben's house sometime and ask him to get out all the coffee makers. The last time I was over there just a few weeks ago, he's making coffee in what looks like to me to be a chemist's set. And I'm not lying to you. I mean, he had beakers and he was funneling stuff and he was doing. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm making me a cup of coffee. This, I have found this to be the perfect cup of coffee. He wasn't even making a pot. He was making a cup of it. You know, I mean, it took him an hour. I think we just hung out for an hour while he's making this one cup of coffee. I'm like, give me another water or something, you know, in the meantime, you know. And, you know, but I mean, he loves it, you know, and I think for us to understand this calling that we have on our lives, you know, just like when I'm hanging out with Ben, I can at least the love of like the process can rub off on me. I can like start to appreciate it, even though I don't want to drink it, you know. When we spend time with God, the same thing happens with us. I mean, we begin, our hearts begin to change and start to look like God's. And that's why, like, when we come to church sometimes, it's like, you know, I haven't been to church so long, I haven't been spending time with Jesus, and then, like, all of a sudden, boom, you come to church, and it's like, man, that was so good today, man, I feel like I'm going to take on the world now, you know? And it's because we're missing Jesus during the week, we've compartmentalized, and we're like we're going to get our Sunday morning Jesus, right? And Sunday morning Jesus isn't enough. And for those of you that like coffee, you wouldn't only drink it on Sunday mornings, right? I don't only drink Mountain Dew on Sundays, okay? I'll just tell you. So I think for us to understand, as we spend time with God, we spend time with Jesus, our heart begins to look like his. And his heart is that he loves people. I mean, he loves people. He created us in his image. He loves us. He cares for us. Every single one of us, all of us sinners, he loves us, and he loved us so much that he served us by sending his son Jesus to be obedient even to death on the cross. I mean, so huge. Let's read Galatians 5. I got to quit because I got like 10 passages I want to go through here. Galatians 5, we're going to bounce around a little bit, and I think you guys will appreciate it in the end. Galatians 5, verse 13 says this. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Did you see it? I'm going to read it again. "Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." You know, basically, Paul is, you know, this freedom deal that they're talking about here, if you read the whole passage, is that there's some guys that are arguing about circumcision and whether or not they have to be or not and all this stuff. And this goes back to Old Testament law. And basically, Paul, like, walks in on this conversation. He's like, whoa, 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 time out. Time out, guys. You guys have got it wrong. We have freedom in Christ. It's not about that anymore. Okay, that's not what our lives are about. Our lives are about following Jesus. And we have a freedom that comes, and it's called grace. And it's because of what Christ has done on the cross and in the resurrection, defeating death. Okay, we have grace. We have mercy. And so we have a freedom. But he's also saying, But do not use the freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. He's saying, don't just go, well, I'm going to sin anyway because Jesus is going to forgive me. You ever heard that one? Well, I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway because I know Jesus already, you know, Jesus already forgave me for it, so I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Well, Paul's saying, don't do that, okay? That's not a mind of Christ. That's not a heart of Jesus. And he goes on, he says, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. He says, instead of sinning, through love, serve one another. Well, what love? We talked about this last week. We talked about love one another last week. You remember that love? That love is not just like any old love. That love is God's love, which is way more powerful than our love. Okay, it's like it's powerful on a scale that we don't even own. Okay, you know, and so for us to understand this, for us to get this and to see this, is to see that we have the ability to allow God to work through us. That his love, not our love, that his love could work through us and love others. And his love changes people. His love gets stuff done. I mean, his love is like messing up people's worlds. It's destroying sin. It's defeating death. It's bringing grace and mercy. I had somebody this week, you know, I was just sitting talking with them, just trying to care for them. They're going through a lot of stuff right now. And they shared just a bunch of junk. They got some crazy stuff going on in their life. And they looked at me in the end and they said, man, thank you so much for not judging me. And I was like, throw some stones at me. I got no ability to judge you. You know, and I think for us to understand and see that when God's love hits people going through things like that, it changes their hearts. It helps them to see who Jesus really is instead of who we fail at trying to be on our own at times. And so this passage, he says, basically, Paul is saying, basically, hey, the freedom that you've got, great for you. Awesome that we have that grace. Don't use it as an excuse to sin. Instead, only he's but through love, serve one another. So he says, don't sin, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Well, I mean, that just makes sense, doesn't it? Man, it sounds so simple. Like anytime we get ready to sin, we just go, well, you know what? I'm not gonna make an excuse for the sin. I'm gonna find somebody to just go serve. That's harder than it sounds, isn't it? But through love, serve one another. This is our calling. This is what God's leading us to do. This is a part of us loving one another. Let me kind of go back and just make this notation, because this is really important for us. Jesus spent his whole life serving other people. What do we see Jesus do? Think any story you can come up with right now of Jesus and other people. What's he doing? I'm like even right now, like I just immediately thought of like the moment where the guy, like the soldier comes up to like take Jesus away to kill him, and Peter jumps in and he, like, you know, what's he do? He like takes his sword and he swipes this dude's, lops this dude's ear off, like Mike Tyson's this dude's ear off, you know, that's coming to get Jesus. And Jesus is like, dude, simmer down. And what's he do? He doesn't go, na 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 boo boo, you're about to kill me, but he just got your ear. He goes, ear fixed. He served him. Woman needs water at a well. What's he do? He goes and gets her water. Does it matter that he's not supposed to be with her kind? Of course not. He walks up. She's like, you're not supposed to talk to me because it's not okay for you to do that. They're going to get you. And he's like, I'm Jesus. Don't tell me nothing. You know, although he didn't do it all cocky and stuff like we wished it he would. You know, part of us like, yeah, I wish he would do that. I'm Jesus, you know. That's what we want to do because we're sinners, all right? And so we've got this understanding, like he walks, his whole life is ministry. It's not Sunday mornings. It's not like, well, three times a month, I'm on a schedule for this. It's his life. He shows up to the party to serve people. That's what he does. And it's what we're supposed to do. Wouldn't it be awesome if we didn't have schedules for people to serve? Wouldn't it be awesome? Everybody's just like, I'm going to go serve. What are you doing today? I don't know. do whatever God needs me to do today. I'm not talking about just Sunday mornings, by the way. I'm talking about on Monday mornings, too. You know? That whatever comes up during the day that day, we're just, okay. God, this is what you want today. I'm going to be with this guy today. Okay. All right. Good deal. But through love, through God's love, serve one another. And then check this out in verse 14. It says this: for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. See that? That's Jesus' law right there. You see that? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus spent his entire ministry serving other people. We don't one time see Jesus go, man, I'm really too busy for all that. I've got a bunch of stuff to do today. You guys go on and you guys can go take care of that. I mean, no, we see Jesus just serving people, loving people. He just loves people. Because he loves people. And the truth is if we love him, then our heart begins to change and we begin to love people too. We begin to love people that we thought we couldn't love. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 20. In this passage, we have a mama, okay? Mama of James James and John. And you got to kind of understand that James and John are actually blood relatives of Jesus. And so, you know, they're like cousins, some of Jesus' cousins. So to kind of paint the whole picture here appropriately, I don't know if we've got like a family reunion going on and they're sipping on Big Red or whatever we got happening here. But Jesus and the cousins and now Mama is here, okay? And Mama comes up on Jesus and is like, hey, I got a question to ask you. I want to know if you would get me some seats for my boys. I mean, you know how Mama is about her boys, right? She's like, you know, I want you to save me some seats for my boys. Like on your right and left, when you get to heaven, will you save me some seats for my boys? I would just love to see my boys sitting next to her, to you, Jesus. That would be just wonderful. You know how mamas are, right? And Jesus is like, it doesn't work out that way. If you read the whole passage, we're not reading the whole passage, but if you read the whole passage, basically Jesus says, I don't even get to pick. That's not even my choice. In fact, what we see is we see Jesus talking about the Father, and we see him coming under the Father's authority right there. And we see that throughout Scripture, the different roles that the different parts of the Trinity play, God, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And so we see Jesus coming under the authority of the Father, and what he's saying is he's like, you know, the Father has already figured all that out. That's not my call. And then he goes on to say, you know, I know, he's basically saying, I know that you want your sons to sit next to me because you want them to be important. And I know that they're serving me and they're rolling with me. They're some of my disciples now and all that kind of stuff. But importance isn't like what you think it is. And then we have this passage here, Matthew 20, verse 25. And this is what Jesus says. He says, but Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your, get ready for it, slave. Going to read it again. We'll start with verse 26. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. We'll go on. We'll come back to it. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. For even as the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This passage helps us to understand just yet another piece of the puzzle of just how important it is that our lives are not to be for, wait, ourselves. That's hard. Because we're selfish sinners. It's what we do. We've always got an angle. We've always got an angle. I go to somebody's house I've never been before. I'm looking behind their barns or any old cars back there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here. I might as well be looking, right? You know, what are you doing with that old thing? Oh, you don't need that. Okay, well, let's talk about it. You know, whatever. I mean, you know, it's always an angle. I mean, we do that with everything that we do in life. Because why? Because we're selfish. We're selfish, and we're all about us. You know. And Jesus is calling us to do the opposite of that. In fact, we're going to go back and we're going to read verse 26 again, where it says, "It shall not be so among you." Not what he's talking about. He's saying, you know, in the government and in today's day and age, you know, they lord it over you. The authorities are going to lord it over you, that, you know, that they're greater than you and that they're more powerful than you. And that's not the way that we're going to roll. In fact, he says, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave." Now, that's not a word that we talk about a whole lot. But we're going to talk about it for a few minutes today. Nathan and I were talking this week, and we had just a couple of really good, just like God conversations about, you know, this message this morning. And out of that, one of the things that he brought up was, you know, he said, you know, if you look up the word slave, like we have these ESV online deals that we use all the time when we're studying scripture and stuff. And in doing so, if you look up the word slave, every time that you find the word slave, you're going to find the word servant. You see, we've made serving something about us. This is what we do to everything. We've made serving that, you know, if we go and say, well, you know, I went on a mission trip one time, man. I love going on mission trips. You know why? And you go, why you like going on a mission trip? Well, I love going on mission trips because, man, when I come back, I just feel so good about myself. Is that really the reason that we go on mission trips? Is that we feel good about ourselves? That is not why we go on mission trips. That's not why we serve. But that's what we've made it out to be. You know, well, I'm gonna go do that because I feel better about myself if I do that, or I'll feel good. You know, what we've done is we've let the selfish center part of us take control again and make it about that. And so what happens oftentimes is we approach serving any, I don't care if it's serving on Sunday morning, serving somebody on Tuesday afternoon, it doesn't matter when or where or what it looks like. We've made serving oftentimes, we've completely skewed it. And we've made it in our minds about something that's like us, and like, I'm a good person, and you need me right now, so I'm going to be a good person to you, and you need me. And really what we're doing is in our hearts, okay, we're not maybe doing this out loud, but in our hearts a lot of times what we're saying is we're saying, I'm better than you. That is not Jesus' heart. We don't ever see Jesus wave the wand of like, you know, I'm better than you. And in our hearts, this is what we do a lot of the times. And so in our hearts, what happens, we begin serving people, we begin doing something for them. And instead of just like our heart being like God's heart, being like Jesus' heart, we start going in our hearts again, well, you need me, so you better be thankful that I'm here doing this for you. Right? Man, this kicks us right in the teeth, doesn't it? I mean, this owns most of us. It owns me. To like really think about this, and I'm not by accident talking about this particular one another this week, because I'm trying to set us up for what we're going to be doing next week, and I want to make sure that as a church as a whole, that our heart's in the right place, because I'm worried that for so many of us, we serve because we're obligated, or somebody talked us into it, or we got guilted into it, or whatever. Listen, it should flow out of the fact that we love Jesus. Right? And if we do it for the love of Christ, then we begin to do it for the right reason. And then what happens? Then what happens? Our heart isn't all tangled up with the sin in it of going, well, I'm better than you, or you better be thankful that I'm here because I'm doing this for you, which is, you know, we've all been there, right? And instead, we're able to go, I'm not sure what God's got here, but obviously he's put me here and I'm supposed to serve these people and I'm his servant. So I'm his slave. And so I'm going to be a slave to Jesus right now. And I'm going to go with the flow. Whatever God wants to happen here, it's not the ending to the story that I wrote, but I'm going to go with it. And then what happens? The love of Christ flows through us, and not the love that we conjure up on our own that won't change people, okay? And it won't be seen as Jesus at the end of the day. I don't care what it looks like. I mean, we can gussy it up and pretty it up and call it whatever we want, and it's a part of our church or whatever that... If it's not from Jesus, it's not from Jesus. We're not changing people. He is. And if we can get the sin part out of the way and allow God's love to flow through us, he can change people's lives. He will change people's lives. And in the meantime, we'll be going, man, I never thought I could even be a part of something like this. This Friday, I had to go work on a machine, one of the machines that I fix and sell on the side. And generally, the way this works is we fix these things up at the house. People come by them. They take them away. I never see them again. It's a glorious thing. I never do deliveries. I really don't like doing it. I won't say I hate it, but I do. You just never know what's going to happen. I mean, anything's liable to happen. And you move one of these things across the room and it'll quit working just because they're just old machines or whatever. And so in most situations, people buy them. They kind of know what's up with them, know how to tinker with them. Well, in this situation, I had a lady call me. And she gave me this story about her brother, and he's 50, and she's a little bit older than he is, and they both lost their parents here just shortly, just a short time ago. Sad situation, and he's actually got a disability, and so you know he couldn't carry one of these things and that kind of thing, so he was going to have it brought to him either way. And so she said, you know, he's always wanted one of these things all of his life. He's just going through so much. He lives by himself. Could you please help us out and like help us get one of these things? And I said, okay, we'll figure it out. And so take this thing to his house. It's like, I don't know, 2 months ago or something. And long story short, it wasn't my machine to begin with. They needed a cheaper machine. I found them a cheaper machine. We went, we got it. We kind of cleaned it up there, but I never had it at my place to like run all the bugs out of it. And we just trusted that it was a good machine on the word of somebody else. We took it their place, set it up. From moment one, it had issues. And I'm like, oh gosh, this is bad. To add fuel to the fire, he lives in Lebanon. He's like, you know, over an hour away. And so I have been going to this guy's house like once a week for on and off for, you know, it's like Friday was like my fourth or fifth time. Actually, it was both. We went twice on Friday. And I was so in my head about going out there. He's got some struggles in life, and it's self-admittingly addicted to some things. And that plays into, you know, how he acts and a lot of stuff. And I really, to be honest with you, I just wasn't looking forward to going out there. And part of it is like, I don't want the gas, and, you know, I'm not getting paid to, you know, go back and keep fixing this thing or whatever at this point. And I'm just trying to do the right thing, take care of this guy. And in the meantime, I'm in my head about it, and I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go see this guy again. I don't want to go out there again. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of fooling with it. It's a thorn in my side. I want to push it out in the yard and catch it on fire. And on the way out there, I've been taking some of the guys from church with me, and I've been talking. He and I, this guy and I, have been talking about Jesus some while I've been there, and he self-admittingly is not close to the Lord right now, and I'm not completely sure that he's a believer. He says that he is, you know, but I can just tell you, just really struggles with some stuff. And in the meantime, you know, we're fixing the machine there Friday, and we get done fixing the machine, and back up. On the way out there, I felt like God just began convicting my heart and just saying, Chris, you're an idiot. And I kind of felt like, yeah, I know. And I just felt like God was saying, you know, there's no accidents. You're doing this for a reason. There's a purpose that you're going here again. And I'm kind of looking at it and going, maybe I messed it up like the first four times, and maybe God wants me to go back again. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. And so we were doing our normal talking and joking around, and he's kind of crude and stuff, but we're just rolling with it and, just trying to be kind and everything. And then in the end, we get the machine done the first time, and I sat down in a chair in front of him. He's just been sitting there watching us, and I just sat down and I said, "Hey, man," I said, "before we go," I said, "could we pray for you about anything?" And boy, you'd thought that I threw a rock at his head. He was shocked. He was like, "What? Why me? Why you pray for me? Why? And I said, "Man, we're just here at your place, and I don't know when we'll get to see each other again, and just thought I'd ask, you know." And he said, "Oh, I would love that. I would love that." And so I said, "Well, what do you want us to pray for?" And so he takes him a minute to like really think about it, and then he starts sharing the addictions of his life, and starts sharing these other things. And in the end, we pray, and I get done praying with, it was like four of us there, so I had two of the guys with me, and we get done praying with this guy, and he's in tears, grown man, in tears, and I could tell like he hadn't had anybody like really care for him like that in a long time. Here's the truth of it: for that one time, there's so many times in my life that I have missed the opportunity because I compartmentalize ministry. What is that? We've been called to live this every day, in every situation, in every relationship that we have. Every single person in this room has relationships with people that nobody else in this room has. Every single one of us has relationships with people that nobody else has. Do you think that's an accident? I think not. In fact, I think that Philippians 2 helps us to see a little bit of what those relationships can look like if we're following Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, if you will. Philippians 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, 1 says this, says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection, any sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind." He's saying, if you've got anything in Jesus at all, be of the same mind. Being of the same mind, having, check it out, the same love. There it is, right there. It's not our love, it's His love. Having the same love, being in full accord. That means, in living together, working things out, not holding grudges, all this kind of stuff. Not jealousy, none of this other sin. And of one mind, being in full accord and of one mind with one purpose. You know what the purpose is? Glorify God. Make much of Him. Let Him be known through us. Verse 3, and here we go. Get ready. This will kick you in the pants. Do nothing. Do nothing. Nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That was not the frame of mind I was in Friday morning. Verse 4, it goes on. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. There it is again. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't walk around going, "Hey, I'm God. I'm God. I'm God. I'm God. You guys can all just start bowing right now, and you'll do what I want you to do, and I'm not going to do what you're going to want me to do." Instead, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, literally, emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus is the ultimate servant. the ultimate servant. You know what I love about that? Here's something that I love about that. You know how like people talk about, you know, like their boss or like their king or their president, and you know, maybe like, it's almost kind of like, you know, when we were kids and like my daddy will beat up your daddy kind of thing. You remember that? You know, my daddy will beat up your daddy. You know, my daddy's truck will run over your daddy's truck, or, you know, whatever. And the truth is, you know, we don't say those kinds of things with Jesus. Jesus is this: my Savior is the greatest servant to ever live. He never once like laid claim on this earth to being the greatest at anything else. He never once was like, "Hey, I'm Jesus, and I'm the best thumb wrestler to ever live." It never happened. But he could have been, because he's Jesus, right? His humility, his heart, is what we are to strive for. It's what we are to live for. But let me put it this way, because if we're not careful, we try too hard. And we make it too hard. Because really, that heart flows out of loving him and spending time with him. It doesn't flow out of like us trying harder. You know what I'm saying? Like the temptation is like, I'm going to try harder to be a better servant. Well, if that's really your heart, and like it's coming because you've got conviction and Jesus is, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking in your heart right now, let me encourage you to do this. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with him. Because if you spend time with Jesus, your heart will change. Your heart will begin to look more and more like his, and less like the selfish sinner. Count others more significant than yourselves, he says. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Boy, that is so hard. That is living a life where we wake up every day, moment by moment, day by day. And anybody that's dealt with an addiction or any kind of, and the truth is, for any kind of sin that we have in our life, including selfishness, okay, is that day by day, moment by moment, we've got to go back to the basics. We've got to go back to spending time with Jesus, remembering what he's called us to do. Quit thinking, you know, I'm not saying you can't think long term or whatever, but quit making it all about like, you know, I'm going to make sure that 1 year from now I'm doing this, 10 years from now I'm doing this, whatever. What about today? Make today count. Make tomorrow count. What are you doing today? Who are you going to be with today? Who are you going to be with tomorrow? Who are you going to be with on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday? Galatians 6 goes on and it shows us a little piece of what this even looks like, of how we can do this for one another. And I'm about to give you something I think that will be very helpful to us, because I think we make this harder than it is. It is so simple, okay? Galatians 6, verse 1 says this. It says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." This is a great word, by the way, to how to show grace and mercy to people. "Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." And then in verse 2, here we go. It says this. It says, this is another one another, by the way. "Bear one another's burdens. And so," what's it say? "Fulfill the law of Christ." We've been talking about that law of Christ deal. We remember what the law of Christ is? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love others. And here we have this bigger even understanding of how much further that goes, that if we bear one another's burdens, it's almost like we're completing in that moment. We're completing the law of Christ. We're completing loving one another. It's not just that love of like, "Hey girl, I love you, you know, it's good to see you, you know." It's not just that, you know, like, "Hey, I love you, and you know, if you need me, holler at me, but then like if you call me, I'm busy." You know, it's like I'm going to bear the burden with you that you're going through right now. And some of you in here right now, some of you could, if you're just real honest, you could say, "You know what, Chris, right now I need somebody to bear my burden with me." And the temptation in this moment in your life is to say that I'm in suffering and there's no way that I could bear anyone else's burden. And I'm here to tell you that that's the exact lie that Satan wants you to believe, is that your burden is so heavy that you could never possibly minister to anybody else. You could possibly never bear someone else's burden. You know what? That's not true. Because our joy isn't found in happiness of things and circumstances on this earth. Our joy is in our salvation. Our joy is in what Christ has done for us. And so for us to understand that and take that piece of truth means that if we'll follow this out, if we love God, if we'll spend time with Him, that even in our suffering, God can use us to do things like bear one another's burdens. And in essence, what we're doing is we're serving one another and we're fulfilling the law of Christ. We're fulfilling the greatest commandment, that if we love God, we love people. They just go together. It goes on in verse 3. It says, man, this is a kicker. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And man, that's not what we want to be like sometimes, is it? Like, guys walk in a gas station. What, like, you bump into a guy, you're like bumping the guy, like, hey, what's up? Like, you want that guy to like look you in the eye, like when he look at you for like that half second, him, you want to think in your head that he thinks, I will take you down if you look at me wrong, right? That's not the mind of Christ. We've got to quit thinking that we're all that and a box of rocks, because we're not. We're sinners in need of a Savior. And it says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And we've got to quit deceiving ourselves. We've got to recognize our need for Jesus. And in doing so, we'll spend time with Jesus. And He will begin to change our hearts. And our hearts will look more like His. And then what will happen is then when we see people, like my buddy on Friday, we'll start recognizing, okay, there's got to be a reason for this. This is not what I really want to be doing right now, but I need to do this. And obviously, there's no accidents in life, so God wants me to be with this guy. So what's the purpose? God has called us to be ministers of the gospel all the time. Our deal with serving others, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And to go back to that word slave, in essence, basically what we're saying is we're saying, Jesus, I want to be your servant. Put the chains on me. I'll be your servant. You pull me around, you lead me. You bought me. You bought me on the auction block of slaves. I'm yours. And you lead and you guide my life because you know better for my life than I know for myself. Because to be His servant is really to be His slave. But the beauty of it is that our lives are fulfilled. And the truth is that in being His servant, we actually find freedom in this life. Because Jesus died that we might live, right? And so no longer are we slaves to sin, but we are servants to the greatest servant of all. It's a heart issue. It's not an ability issue. It's not a, well, I don't know if I can do that issue. I don't know if I have time issue. We've got time. We're just making excuses. I don't have the ability. We're making excuses. You know, to not be able to serve people is making an excuse. And that's junk and we know it. And the truth is we're missing so much of what it means to live in this life. Because Jesus didn't just die for fire insurance. Jesus didn't just die that we would know that we're going to live in heaven instead of living in hell when we die. He lived for more. He died for more than that. He defeated death for more than that, so that we would find freedom in Him, that we could live with a purpose for Him. Which means the battle wages on between what God could do through us being glorified and us the selfish sinners in our agendas, right? Let him wage on. Because here's the truth. If we will let him, Jesus will win. And he will use us. And his love will flow through us. And he will do great things. And we'll step back and we won't go, look what I did. We'll go, look what God has done. Amazing. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff that God wants to do in our lives. Did you know that? Did you know that God wants to do amazing things in our lives for his glory, that he would be made known, that people would see Jesus in us? He wants to do that. He wants to do that. He's just waiting for us to quit making excuses. He's like, I'm here. Whenever you quit, I'm ready to go. Kind of makes us sound lazy, doesn't it? Sometimes that's what it is. If you read, and we're not going to read it, you can go check it out on your own if you're taking notes or something. But Matthew 6, first four verses, talks about serving others and not doing it so that people would see us to do it, that we would be willing to do it in secret. I mean, if God chooses for us to serve in public, that's fine. But that we do it with a heart that's not about, hey, look at me. And next Sunday, it'll be tempting for us to go, hey, look at what we've done. That is not why we're doing this. We're doing this because we love Jesus. We're doing this because we want to be Jesus to others. And we've been called to love one another. And we're going to live this out together. But 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says this. You want to turn to it. We'll just put it up on the screen. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I love this verse. We have all received different gifts to be able to use. And you know what? Especially for us guys, I mean, like we've been built, it's built in us, like to take care of our families. We're going to go and we're going to work hard and do all those things. There's just something that God put in us that we want to do that. That's part of its pride. It can move to a place of sin very easily, and we worship it and all those kinds of things. But I look at this and I go, you know, I think about all the gifts that God has given so many people. There's so many gifts that I don't have that I see so many other people have. And then there's gifts that I have that I don't know hardly anybody that has some of those. And so I look at all those things together and I just think to myself, you know, God has made every one of us so very differently, yet all in his image. And yet he's given all of us these gifts that we would use it, we would use them to serve one another. Did you know, and because this is a little piece of the freedom piece for us, I think, that so many folks miss. We've made serving one another so hard. Did you know that God would love for us to really enjoy and love serving one another? That he's given us interests and gifts that we can use all of those things for his glory, that other people could know him. Because through those things that we love to do, or those things that we're good at doing, that through those things we could use those things to show other people Jesus. It happens. And it's awesome. And I'll be honest with you, the moments of ministry that I've loved the most have been things where I've gotten to be in situations where I love, like, the whatever it is, the hobby or the gift or the trade that I'm in or whatever it is, and being able to actually see Jesus use that thing to give me an opportunity to just love somebody. Because let's go back to, how did Jesus do this? He served people. Just walked up to people. He found their needs. He began meeting their needs. We all know people right now that have needs, and we've been going, well, I'm just really too busy to fool with that. Every one of us know people with needs. You go, well, I don't know anybody that needs anything fixed, and I couldn't fix anything. You know what? That's okay. You know people that are going through things right now, and they need somebody to come alongside of them and bear their burden. To love them. To just know that they care. You go, Chris, I need somebody to bear my burden. Well, you know what? Maybe they'll bear your burden when you're bearing theirs. I can't tell you how many times in my life when I've been going through like the worst moments of my life, and I've been tempted and have oftentimes fell prey to those moments of going, there's no way I could serve somebody else the way I am in my head right now. And then and like God puts me in a situation where I'm not given any choice, and I do it, and God ends up ministering to me. They end up ministering to me. Truth is all we've got to do is just follow Jesus. Be obedient. Don't make excuses. Go with the flow. Enjoy the ride. Do the things that you love to do and let Jesus use them. You know? That's the life that Jesus has given us. He's died for this. He said, here you go. For my glory, make me known. Live and make me known. Through the things that you love, make me known. Through your hobbies, make me known. Through your job experiences, make me known. Through your family, some of you are like, oh, make me known. There's no accidents, remember? Some of you would like to believe that there were accidents in your family. Okay, I know. There's a reason for every single one of them. God created us for his glory. In other words, that we would make him known. That's the purpose of our life. How do we make him known if we don't serve others? How do we make him known if we don't love others? This is the key that unlocks the whole thing for us. There's some of you here right now, I never take for granted on any Sunday that I know there's people here that probably don't know Jesus, never trusted in him. I just want to say to you, if that's you, if you're hanging your hat on that you grew up in church, or you know, you got wet one time, or you walked an aisle somewhere or something, let me just tell you something. It's not the way it works. We come to know Christ when the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart and he tugs and he says, come on, you need me. And in that moment, when we recognize that we are in need of a Savior and we trust in him to be our Savior and say, I can't do it anymore by myself. I need you. I need you to save me. I need you to forgive me. That's when the magical, wonderful love of Jesus saves us. And let me just tell you, if you're here this morning and you've never let God save you, he wants to. He loves you. He sent Jesus to die. He sent Jesus to be a servant to the point of death, even death on the cross. He took the death that you and I deserve for our sin. And then he killed it. He killed death. He defeated death. He said, how do you defeat death? He defeated death by rising again 3 days later. Death couldn't hold him. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Christ to be your Savior, quit hanging it on whatever it is that you're hanging it on. If you've got any question at all, let today be the day of your salvation. Let him take over. Other people will be here after the service today. We'd love to pray with you, talk with you about that. And anytime you can contact us, we would love to talk with you and pray with you about that. It's awesome seeing the process. I got to minister to one of the younger guys at our church after the first service today. And like God's tugging on his heart right now. And I can tell, like, and I ask him, I say, you feel like God's tugging on your heart right now to do something? He's like, yeah. I said, what do you think you're supposed to do? He said, I think I'm supposed to get baptized. I said, why do you think you're supposed to get baptized? He said, because I need Jesus to wash my sins away. I said, well, let me help you understand something. I was like, the water's just water. I was like, Jesus does all the washing. I said, that symbolizes what Christ will do in you if you will trust in him. That's the gospel. God's done that for us even despite the fact that we don't deserve it. God has called us to serve. We're going to talk at the end of the service today about Serve Sunday coming up next week. Please don't get out of here without hearing about all that, because there's some exciting stuff we're going to be doing. Ann will be sharing with us. But at the end of all this, I just want to remind us that this is a heart condition for us. This is a heart issue for us, that we would follow Jesus. And Jesus changes our hearts. And in doing so and following him, amazing things happen because his love flows through us and changes others. As we serve, as we question what God is calling us to do, look at the things that he's put around you. Look at the people that he's placed in your life. There are no accidents. We've been called to serve one another and bear one another's burdens. Let's pray together.